The News in Numbers with Tanya Khoury, exclusively on Chai FM.
That's right. We have our weekly media maven, Tanya Khoury, on the show today, bringing us all the most important hashtags that are flicking all over the international World Wide Web and Twitter and everything. Basically, tweets are like... What are tweets like? They're like the Somali pirates of the information age. They zip in, they zip out, but if there's too many of them, you have a problem. Tanya, you have been keeping track of the Somali pirates of the international World Wide Web. What's been going on?
Benji, you make me laugh because that is the most accurate description I've ever heard of Twitter and its hashtags. Thank you for that. I love that.
anything we
what
can
a week.
Do. Yeah, it's been hectic, eh?
It's been hectic. How's your no confidence vote hangover? Are you still suffering?
Yeah, it's a bit, but I have no confidence, basically. There were so many hashtags.
It's been a crazy week. You know what was so interesting today is normally I have to fight to see who's the top 10, and I put all the big stories in the charts, and then I sort of whittle them down by percentage to see what makes the top 10. And this morning, so anything that was 0.something%, I started scrapping them, and then I was left with about 4 stories on the charts, and I was like, well, no, hang on, that's not right. And it just shows you how large Zuma Must Fall and secret ballots and no confidence vote were this week. 46.4% of our social media focused on Zuma Must Fall and 28.3% on the secret ballot and no confidence, bringing us to a good 70-something% of our charts, which is no wonder why I struggled, because everything that was left really paled in comparison. Certainly Twitter was a light for the Zuma Must Fall coverage, the various protests across the country. And then there was the secret ballot announcement, and everybody held their breath, thought there's no way Mbete will grant it, and then she did, and people fainted. And then, of course, the no confidence vote, which was fascinating. The number of ANC so-called rebels coming out of the woodwork. Did you know that there were more ANC no confidence votes than there were EFF? How's that?
Well, people forget there's not that many EFF members in the house. There's only like 15 of them or something stupid like that. They make a lot of noise, but there's not a lot of them.
They make an awful lot of noise. Julius Malema certainly making some entertaining comments in Parliament, making him one of the biggest stories this week. He is on the social media charts at 5.6%, but in news media, he's a lot bigger, 8.1%. I particularly liked his comments about, "I'm here to vote out a crook." That made me laugh hysterically. You gotta love Juju, love him or hate him. He certainly does make waves on the media platforms. In news media, though, Benji, 45% of our news media focused on the secret ballot and no confidence vote. And I've never seen a story that big in South Africa over such an extended period of time. And that includes Oscar Pistorius. So there we go. That's some interesting reading there. Zuma Must Fall coming in at 7.6%. So good, almost 60% of our news media focused on that story this week.
So, as you say, complete, basically, whitewash, blackout, I don't know, take your phrase, in terms of Zuma Must Fall and the no confidence vote. Even Muzi Mayamani was, channeling his inner preacher there on TV. Are we able to track things like people logging in and watching these sorts of things live, Tanya?
Yeah, certainly on certain platforms, depending on how sophisticated the platform is, it does definitely record the number of viewers, etc. That makes a fascinating read, and I certainly will have a look at that number, but I'm sure it's enormous. Talking about Mayamani, though, 5.1% to him in the SA News Media. It didn't quite make social media. Nobody really cares. 0.7%. He was one of the ones I took off and then had to put back on because he was the bigger of the low percentages. But he has one. Benang's book.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah. Show. I don't know. I feel like Benang is being very unfairly maligned. I mean, if I had to write a book, there'd be many more spelling mistakes. But I see even Exclusive Books has removed it off the shelves.
removed it and promised people for their to get their money back in exchange for the new edited copy. Publishers taking accountability to a certain degree. But my goodness, like 6.1%. That's a very big story when you see what else is on the charts. That's an enormous story.
Do you know
the number of memes was just ridiculous.
Do you know what's interesting is that the CEO of Exclusive Books recalled the book while the motion of no confidence voting session was going on. So they thought we wouldn't notice.
Oh, we noticed.
Very clearly people had no confidence in that book.
Certainly made me, it certainly lightened my mood. I'm sorry for Benang, but my goodness, some of that writing made your eyes water. It was shocking.
I think a lot of people also like they go, oh no, we shouldn't be too aggressive on Bonang, you know, that we're not doing enough to support black woman authors. But I thought, no, Bonang is doing a disservice to all the decent black woman authors that we have out there.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Being given a bad name.
I believe it was a rush though. The book was rushed to beat another book on the shelves. I didn't quite work out the reason why it was such a rush job, but certainly it backfired. There were many people taking to Twitter with corrections, like a big red pen.
Do you know what? It was rushed because her reality show just debuted on Vuzu. So now it was meant to basically coincide with that, and because of Somizi had also released a book.
Yes,
and
this is what happens with the Kardashianization of literature. we have these sorts of problems. So, all right. So basically, if an alien flew from planet whatever, he would see no confidence and bad literature in our country. Is this what we're talking about?
Wait, there's more. Oh. He'd also see Manana.
Oh my word.
I would really hang my head in shame. What kind of a story is that? 3.3% to that in social media and 3.2% in news media. Many South Africans, including myself, disgusted at that situation. I mean, the man turned up to Parliament. There were tweeters saying, well, Fikile, if you're looking for him, here he is, and your policemen are there, so, like, what are you waiting for exactly? And then he gets 5,000 rand bail. What kind of a precedent does that set for women in our country? You know, like, I can't tell you how furious I am about that story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Manana story also has some way to go, because it was just, quite so blatant, and it was actually so violent.
On the eve of Women's Day.
Yeah, on Women's Day. And then Zuma had the gall the next day, or it was on Women's Day itself. He sat and he spoke about, you know, women contributions and women's rights and how the state was going to intervene. It was just such a joke.
And a year ago to the day, Manana also gave a speech about how we should be protecting our women and that not enough is done
from
for
him.
Women's rights, etc. Yeah. So the irony, the disgust on social media, certainly very big. I'm interested to see what happens here. Have we got another Shabir Sheikh? Is that what's going to happen here? And if it does, I think you'll have a very angry nation. There's another horrific story on the charts. It was one of the 0% percentages that I took off and had to put back on. And that's the KFC assault story. What kind of a horrific story is that? That also making an impact in social media, but didn't quite make the news media charts. There was so many big stories this week.
What is it with fast foods and like people getting angry? I mean, is it the specials are not that good, or is the food is just so horrible? But it just seems to be it. Whether it's a Spur or a KFC, or
there was even Ocean Basket.
Ocean
Basket, quite right. You're so right. What is that? You're quite right. I never even thought of it like that.
I think I'm just going to stay home and use Uber Eats from now on. It's just safer, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I don't know. Uber drivers are getting killed all the time, so not sure if that one will work either. What is my tragedy of the week, though, is the performance of our athletes at the IAAF didn't make the charts. Only Wade van Niekerk made the charts, 0.9%. Custer Semenya really outshining yesterday, also didn't make the charts. Manyonga also, he was on the charts for a little bit, but then no confidence, and Secret Ballot came in and just pushed him off. Chad Laclos is another one that also didn't feature this week. And then good old Trevor Noah is back in town, and he also didn't make the chart. So I found all those disappointing, because as a South African, people we can be proud of for a change.
Yeah, it's, unfortunately, some of the no confidence taking over some of the positive stories. Tanya, what about internationally? What's those stories that have been trending?
Oh, are they? Is he going to push the button or isn't he? That's the question, isn't it? Trump and North Korea. Big, big story, 14.2% to that story, making it the largest new entry on our international charts this week. While the world holds its breath, Trump saying that he's coming out with fire and fury as never seen by humankind before. What does that mean?
He kills me with his one-liners, and North Korea must be very, very nervous.
I did see something. I don't know how true it is, but I saw a chicken, a floating chicken, one of these big balloons outside the White House that is rumored to have come from North Korea and be in a very, very strong message to Trump. So I'm not sure what that is, but that did entertain me. Like, that takes some serious gall. But yeah, North Korea is definitely the biggest story, new entry, or not the biggest story, but the biggest new entry this week. Trump and Russia is still the biggest story, 24.9% to that. The Venezuela protests, wow, that is a big story as well, 6.2% to that. Only slightly bigger than Trump's vacation, though. That's the sad state of our media world. 4.2% to Trump taking off. And then he didn't quite go on vacation. He came out with his fire and fury comments. So I'm not sure what that means. 4.2% to that story.
Not such a joke. I think if I was a resident of Seoul, I'd be doing some very deep praying right now.
I think Trump decided that he needed to protect his vacation home more than he needed to visit it.
So.
Get to work first and then go on holiday.
Clearly wants to go to Guam for holiday, so, you know, he wanted to make sure that the North Koreans...
Guam being the focus of much attention this week, because I believe that if North Korea does attack, that's as far as they'd reach. Yeah, very interesting. Kenya elections is one that didn't make the charts, and that makes me very sad because of course it's in our own continent, but also because it's a big story. Apparently the elections were rigged, many people protesting, many dying overnight. I think there were 5 or 10 deaths in the protests overnight. But that story didn't make the charts. The refugee crisis is on though, 19.1% to that. So finally the world is paying attention. That only took us a couple of years. So that particular story is one of the largest. Trump and immigration. Trump and Jeff Sessions and Trump Jr. all still on the charts. And then, of course, Al-Aqsa Mosque as well, still coming in at 4.2%.
That's quite interesting that Al-Aqsa is still an issue. Is it still about the metal detectors, or is there something else going on?
I think it's because it references back to Al-Aqsa Mosque when they talk about the Palestinians and the struggle in Palestine. So okay. I think that's what the reference point is. It was a very big story last week and the week before, and they're still doing references back, if you like, in the news media.
Very, very interesting. Tanya Curry, thank you so much for bringing us all the tweets that matter, and we look forward to chatting to you next week.
Lovely. I look forward to have a lovely weekend, everybody.